But the reason, I'm going to be up here, but the reason that I preach down there is to let you know we're on the same level. We have the same struggles. We submit ourselves to the same word. We have the same life that we seek to live. And in a sense, in my spiritual walk, I'm no better than anyone else who is here. The difference is I am charged to get up and talk about it, okay? And sometimes I can tell you it's not because I have all the answers. And I just want to be honest with you here. This particular scripture is one where it has always caused me a little bit of question. A little bit of question for a couple of reasons. We read that Jesus came from Galilee to be baptized by John in the Jordan. And John says to him, "Hey, wait a minute. I know who you are. And I need to be baptized by you." And Jesus says, "Let's do it for righteousness' sake." And then John consents and baptizes Jesus. Was it a blessing to see a baptism today? Amen. It was a blessing to do a baptism today. I want to tell you that as Casey White Oak Church, as your representative, we had another baptism within the last few months. It's because it wasn't here in Casey. And he is actually here today. I told you about him. It's Lincoln Swan. He's sitting down in front too. So we celebrate him. God is starting to move, you know? And we pray that God just opens the floodgates and that people step forward into new relationships with Jesus Christ. But imagine this. Something that Jesus, we would want him to do to us, Jesus asked John to do to him. We want Jesus to save our neighbors. At least I hope you do. We want Jesus to keep us safe. We want Jesus to feed other people around us. We want Jesus to do many things. But Jesus says, "Do it unto me. You do it unto me." In Matthew chapter 25, when he lists the things that people did and the things that people did it, his answer always was to those who did it, they said, when did we see you in need? And he basically says, when you did it unto one of the least of these, you did it to me. My question was, and in some ways still is, why would Jesus have to go through a baptism of righteousness? Paul later calls John's baptism a baptism of repentance. And I've kind of put that together in my mind, and I said, well, what in the world did Jesus have to repent of? He was, is, and always will be without sin. But he didn't say to John, "Let's do this for repentance sake." He said, "Let's do it for righteousness' sake." You see, the baptism that was given, and the baptism you received today, and Lincoln, that you received not too long ago, and that the rest of you who have accepted Christ, the baptism you went through is not an end point. It is actually a middle point. It is the beginning of something. It's the beginning of new life in Christ, a new commitment. But many times I figured out the reason I didn't understand it is because I was looking at it as an end point, looking back at the bad things that I had done and repenting of that and asking that God would wash me. That is still true, but it's not the end of the story. Every scripture we have read this morning in regard to baptism, links it together with something else. Dying to sin. Becoming alive in Christ. The power of God in us to accomplish what he has called us to do. You know what happens right after Jesus' baptism? He goes into the wilderness and he comes back and his ministry starts. Even Jesus came to a point, was baptized, and that point was the start of Jesus being different, of Jesus' purposes shifting from taking care of the family, you know, doing carpentry things, shifting from the sawdust to the dust of the people's feet. His ministry opened up wide because it was time. It's time for you too. I know you bless your family. I know that you bless people around you. I know that you pray, but this is a new chapter, just as it was for Jesus. And can I tell you, at your baptism, I mean, it says he saw the dove of the Spirit coming down from heaven and heard the voice. We don't know whether John's talking about Jesus, Matthew's talking about Jesus or John, but the voice was heard. And it may not have been audible today, but the voice of heaven spoke today and said, well done. Well done. Thank you. The involvement of God with us is incredible, isn't it? In Romans 6, it said this, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? In other words, we know that we are forgiven sin, and if we trust in grace, well, hey, wait a minute. If I sin more, then I get forgiven more, and therefore there's more grace. Isn't that a good thing? And Paul says, heaven forbid. That is not a good thing. In fact, we should be sinning less. In the Old Testament, God told his people to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, how many of you here believe that you have been able to obey completely to God's pleasure? Anybody? Have you, Jerry? We couldn't pick anything out. We'll have a talk later. they just haven't come to mind, most likely. I was asking a young man once, and he said, I've never broken any rules. And I said, really? Have you ever sped even 1 mile an hour over the speed limit? And he said, no. I said, you're a young driver, just wait a few days. And that's the way it is with sin. Sometimes we try to become a better person. I've seen so many people not come to Christ because they don't feel like they're clean enough. That's like doing a sponge bath before you take a shower. Just take the shower. Don't try to clean your life up. Christ already did it, and by golly, he did it perfectly. There is nothing that has to be added. There is nothing we have to do for salvation. But there are things we have to do to live from that point of baptism when we commit as we live into righteousness. Now, notice it doesn't say we live into perfectness. We live into righteousness. In fact, Paul goes so far to say that when we are in Christ and we have been baptized, he uses baptism as the metaphor. He says, we are dead to sin. Now, I would just like death to be dead. That day is coming, but not yet. It's the already but not yet. Death is condemned, death is defeated, it has lost its sting, but it still exists for a time. But one day when Christ comes back, death is done. Yes, I got two thumbs up from Lincoln. He knows about it. But until then, we have to continually die to sin. Now, let me ask you something. If we were having a funeral today and there was a coffin here, would you expect that if someone came in maybe a little bit provocatively dressed, that the man in the coffin would take a peek, be tempted? Not even a little. And that's what Paul is saying. You are so dead to sin, it doesn't even concern you anymore. Now, the problem is, we are still living and thinking like we were back in the sinful nature, that it was still our master. You know, sometimes we can look at our unbelieving neighbors and we can, you know, judge them a little bit. You know, they do these bad things and they do that bad thing. Well, friends, they're still a slave to sin. They're still in the army. And when Reveille hits, they've got to get up. Some of you mothers wish that you had Reveille and the kids would get up. It's not guaranteed they will. But you see, when you're in the army, you're a slave to someone, right? But we are now in a different army, and we are Christ's slaves. But he is the master and the owner who keeps us in love and mercy and grace. And sometimes we get the call, wake up! Wake up! Why? Because the life he has for us is better than the dreams we have for us. We can't even dream or imagine. The scripture says this. We can't even imagine the riches that God has for us. We think, oh, yeah, I understand streets of gold. No, you don't. No, you don't. And if gold is just street pavement, what else does he have in store? Whoa. I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? It's fulfilling righteousness. And it's not just looking back, but it's looking forward. Baptism is death to sin, but it's also justice, because we are buried with him. God doesn't ignore our sin, but God takes care of our sin. Some people say, well, God can't be good, because there is evil in the world. And my response is, and where did that come from? Why does it rain? Because we chose in our humanity disobedience to God. And the disobedient can pay for their sins, but when you do, you're dead. There's nothing. The wages of sin is death. So yeah, we've got a debt that we can't pay. What we really mean is, yeah, you can pay it if you die, both physically and spiritually. But Jesus has paid the price so that when he comes back, we live physically and spiritually. We are new creatures. In fact, in reality, we will become old creatures, because the status that we had with God in the garden will be restored. The status of walking with him will be restored. The blessing of doing work will be restored. We try to find that job that will be that blessing, but it ain't there, kids. It comes in Christ, because he has died for us. It is justice that brings us grace, but the justice that was carried by Christ. There is authority in baptism, because baptism is dying to sin and gaining a new master, and the master allows us to use the power that he gives us. And he says this in scripture, you think that you can't do something? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. Anything that's dying and stinking inside of you, your attitude, anything else, Christ can raise it to fragrant new life. And that is good news. I'm so glad you're sitting down here as an encouragement. You know? Baptism is power. It's not only a commitment to righteousness, but accepting the power that transforms us into living a pleasing way. You have that power in you now. And so do all of us. Some of us, our baptism has been so long ago we forgot. But let this be a reminder. And it's a confirmation. Jesus heard the voice, probably John the Baptist as well, as he was doing the work. Have you ever worked and worked for God and you wondered if you were making a difference? I wonder if it's making any difference whatsoever. How about that moment when you finally see or hear. Keep working. Keep letting the power flow through you. It will happen. There's been a little consternation in the congregation recently because it looks like some things are going downhill. You know, attendance, finances, you know, ability to work, whatever. And I got to tell you, there's been a little consternation from me as well. But I have received confirmation. The floodgates are going to open. The floodgates are going to open. Y'all are going to move closer, right? I was just asking. We may even see and know that it's a voice from heaven. I'm going to give you one final challenge. Worship team, would you come forward while I give that? If we get done just a few minutes early, I would invite you to come down and bless your new sister, okay? And her relatives. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing in this. It's been a pleasure. But I've got one question for you. If you have never been baptized, I don't care how old you are, can I ask you this in a loving way? If Jesus submitted to baptism, why won't you?